Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Hello, Every Nation, New York City family. God bless every one of you for tuning into this service at this time. What an honor it is for me to participate in the series for this month, Our Foundations, Our Future, with Pastor Ron and Lynette Lewis and Dr. Pastor Rice Brooks, our bishop. It's an honor for me because I remember the early days of how this church began, and I have the privilege of speaking in this first message about a reconciled church. If you would, stand with me wherever you are, and we're going to look in the scriptures as we begin our time together. We'll look in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm reading out of the NIV, and we'll begin in verse 6. It says, "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms," verse 11, "according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the wonder and the riches and the mystery of your mind, your eternal purpose being revealed in the earth through your creation, through your word. I ask that you would give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying to us in this hour, in Jesus' name, amen. The focus on a reconciled church is something that I'll speak to from the scriptures, but I want to speak to you also from the reality of knowing, because I was at the beginning, it's everything that God put in our hearts. I remember sitting at Bethel on the front row, listening to Pastor Rice Brooks share about his recent visit after 9/11 in 2001. Him and a small team drove an RV to New York City from Nashville. Pastor Ron Lewis met him in New York as well, just to see what the needs are and to survey the damage and understand what God wanted us to do as a response. What was his purpose is what they had in mind when they went to New York City. And in New York City, it was a moment that was heavy with anxiety and fear and uncertainty. There was a sense of darkness about the city that it was so thick, as it was explained, you can cut it with a knife. And it was in that very moment that Pastor Rice sensed from the Lord that we needed to plant a church. So as I sat on the front row of Bethel, I listened to Pastor Rice share about how we're going to plant a church with money we didn't have, with staff we didn't have, with people we didn't have, and no building. And all of a sudden, a month after that announcement, something about what he was saying, I felt like my life was about to change. I've been drafted before, but it was in the NFL. I felt like I was being drafted by the Holy Spirit, because we didn't have a conversation prior to that announcement. But I knew somehow my life was going to be tied to an eternal purpose that God had for this city that had been the target of a devastating attack. It had now become the target of an eternal purpose from God. And what I do know about Pastor Rice and Pastor Ron and our times of going to New York and No, I wasn't wrong about the feeling that my life was about to change. Indeed, it was. But in the midst of all that was taking place, there was something in our conversation and our going back and forth to New York City that we knew. It wasn't plainly written out, but we knew God wanted in this city of great diversity, but a city polarized by a lot of things from poverty to politics. New York City is an amazing city. It's a city of the nations, but it's a city that has not understood its eternal purpose in God. And it won't be understood by the United Nations. It won't be understood out of the mayor's or the governor's office. It won't be understood in the political realms. It can only be understood in the church. Well, what kind of church? A reconciled church. And it's only in a reconciled church where you find people that are committed to know God. Not just know about God, but to know God. You find people who are willing to grow together, discover your purpose, and actually make a difference in this world. It is ours that has been, it is to us who have been given the grace of God to stand in the gap in difficult times and be a display of the wisdom and the power of God in such a way that it changes and transforms the darkness around us. I remember on one of our trips, after going five services in Brentwood, getting on the plane in Nashville, flying to Islip, getting a car to drive to New York City, dropping our bags off, going upstairs and having a service and doing it week in and week out. There was so much excitement in our soul, but our bodies were weary at times. Sometimes we wouldn't even remember when the plane took off. But I remember on one visit on the plane, after our visit in New York, we got on the plane. Pastor Rice, as he would do periodically, grabbed the motion bag. And mind you, there was an immense amount of need. There was all kinds of knotty situations. People were open to the gospel like never before, but they knew nothing of God. To him, he was easy to dismiss until the need for him became great. And so with the mounting weight of what we were carrying week in and week out, the needs, we needed staff, we needed money, we needed all these things, Pastor Rice, in the classic form that he does. I don't know if you ever had a relationship with somebody where you can look at each other and didn't have to actually say words. We would do that on the plane sometimes. We'd be sitting on the plane and we just look at each other. And didn't have to say a word. We just knew what it meant. And on this one occasion, he wrote on the back, "The pressure is on the promises." That was a game changer. Because in that note, it became our anthem. To come in and out of New York with the faith that God had a promise for that city. And the promise of God for New York City is a reconciled church. And God, who is the promise maker and the promise keeper, is the only one that can birth, sustain, and advance a reconciled church. The hope is that every nation, New York City, is not only this kind of church, but is becoming this kind of church more and more in all of the sites with the almost 70 nations represented now, but that we wouldn't be the only church that's a reconciled church, that the other churches with other names might become a part of the display of his splendor, and we become the change, we become the hope, we become the wisdom, we become the display of God's power that brings healing to the church. Why do we even need a reconciled church? Because it's going to take a reconciled church to see an unreconciled world come to the knowledge of the Creator and the Savior. New York City is as good a city as any to take all of the parts and all of the nations and all of the things that divide us, all of the from poverty to politics, as diverse as New York City is, it is that much more unreconciled. And if politics could do it, it would have been done by now. If corporations and Wall Street could do it, it would have been done by now. If all the podcasts and the philosophical ideas of the sages and the social scientists could do it, it would have been done now. But there is no person, there is no institution designed by God other than His church to bring reconciliation to the world through Jesus Christ. Which is why you and I are here. Which is why you and I have the story of being His church. When you look at what the Apostle Paul is preaching, the Apostle Paul is saying, for ages and centuries, God kept a secret. And in this secret, He was going to blow the minds of those in the unseen realm, the angels and the thrones and the ranks of angelic host who knew Him best, who were the closest to Him. But God had a secret that He was going to use to put on display the answer for the brokenness and the unreconciled culture of the world. And it was going to be found in His Son, Jesus. Paul said this mystery was this. God is going to take Jews and He's going to join them with Gentiles, and they're going to become one people in one body in Jesus Christ. Which blows the mind of the angelic hosts, but also human beings, because Jews saw Gentiles as unclean. In fact, in the temple courts, there was a barrier that divided Jew and Gentiles. In Ephesians 2, it says that the cross destroyed the barrier and the wall of hostility, which shows you the heart of God in a reconciled church. Is that He uses our diversity to celebrate who He is in the earth, but the world uses our diversity to segregate, to mock who God is in the world. Jesus, through the cross, destroyed the wall that divides you and me if you don't look like me. It's human beings that like to rebuild the wall and claim that is the way things should be. But I'm here to tell you, reconciled church, that God revealed the mystery through the Apostle Paul by having him preach to people that didn't look like him. And God is going to continue to reveal the mystery as we celebrate our diversity and minister to people that don't look like us. See, this mystery, I believe, was hinted at in different times, in different stages of God unfolding who He is to the world and His eternal purpose. Because every time I read the Bible and I see places where there was either potential destruction or famine or death, God sent a sign of his eternal purpose, and it was always through multiple colors. It was always through the display of diversity. When you look at Genesis 8 after the flood, we see in Genesis 9, God saying to Noah, I'm going to make a covenant with you, but I'm also going to make a covenant with my creation. And here's the covenant. I'm no longer going to destroy this earth. I'm going to preserve it. And the sign of my covenant, the sign of my eternal purpose, is going to be a rainbow. That in the midst of the cloud, when the rain is bringing And when the rain is coming out of the cloud, I'm going to let the earth know that there is a sun beyond the cloud that paints a picture of diversity to show that I am the covenant making God, I'm the covenant keeping God. And to the earth, I'm going to let you see for all generations that what I said is what I'm going to do. I'm going to preserve the earth. No longer will there be destruction. When you think about what happened in Genesis 37, God displayed his love through Jacob for Joseph, the son of his old age. And what he gave him was a gift of a coat of many colors. Joseph, after he got that coat, he had a dream that his bundle of grain rose above his brothers and his family, and that somehow God was going to use him to actually bring them into a place of being preserved and freed and helped and saved. And we read the end of the book, or end of his story, in Genesis 41, 42, we see Joseph, after going through the testing and the trial and all of the challenges of growing in character and trusting God, we see the very promise that God gave to a young man with a multicolored coat. He preserved his people by allowing him a place of power in the government of pagans, of those who didn't have a relationship with God, because God had an eternal purpose even beyond the pain, even beyond the famine. God says, I got a secret. I got a plan. I'm going to mark my purposes in the earth to preserve the earth, to preserve people, to preserve what I want to accomplish with multiple colors. We see in this revelation and mystery that God displayed to Paul, he said, this mystery is going to be the manifold wisdom of God, the multicolored, the multifaceted. God has wisdom we know not of. And what is the wisdom for? To display his love, to display his glory, to display his power. See, a lot of times we want God to just use us, just us. We want God to use our wisdom, our talents, our Instagram, our TikToks, our social media. We want him to use us personally, but God wants to use us together, because you individually are not the answer for what the world needs. None of us individually are ever going to be the answer. In fact, if all you know is people like you, you're going to be blessed by God if you love Jesus, yes. But God has a greater purpose than using people that all look the same. And then you can look at it in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 11, we find that the Jerusalem church itself, powerful miracles, revival broke out. But listen to what happened to the Jerusalem church. They found themselves with more of a myopic vision of what the gospel was supposed to do, to the point where it says now in Acts 11, 19, now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. See, God always had a plan to celebrate, to reveal, to put himself on display through diversity, through a reconciled church. And a reconciled church is a church where even if everyone looks the same, if you're reconciled to God, you're a reconciled church. But God wants to actually go beyond us being reconciled to him, to us being reconciled to each other. Those who thought are unclean, those who may not be like you. God says, yeah, them. I want to include them in my eternal purpose. I want to include them in the way I want to release my power, my wisdom. I want you to be the answer that the world is looking for, by being reconciled to me and to one another. And the way we do that is actually celebrate one another in Christ, to see one another as family and not as strangers. If you go on, someone broke out of the paradigm of the same and preached in Antioch. And then in Antioch, we see a church born of predominantly Gentiles, people who were not Jewish. God says, my covenant was always to include the nations. Always. The heart of God is the heart of a reconciled church, and it is a heart for the nations. Because it's in the multi-variegated, multifaceted, multicolored wisdom of God that the earth is able to find its unreconciled condition healed by the God of reconciliation. He and only he can put on display his wisdom, his power, his majesty through a people who have been reconciled to him and to each other through the price of the blood, which is red. See, God is so much greater than the limitations in our minds and the limitations of our humanity. See, God's eternal purpose is not just for a period of time or a fad for a season. His eternal purpose is from eternity past to eternity future. From age to age, it's the same. And he's always putting on display multiple colors, multifaceted expressions. And he's doing it in the church. Because in Acts chapter 13, it says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. You know what's interesting? Is that we don't see the missionary journeys of any of the apostles or anyone else until you get to a reconciled church. You get to a church that actually is an expression of God's eternal purpose. You have Hebraic Jews, Hellenistic Jews, Gentiles, all in the same church. What? Yeah. They couldn't say, oh, that's a black church, that's a white church, that's a Korean church, that's an Asian church, that's a Hispanic church. No, it's the church. God used his multifaceted wisdom expressed in the nations, gathering cultures, mixing together as the launching pad for his mission to reach the world with the message of his love and his power and his redeeming grace. He did it before. He's wanting to do it again. And he's using, yes, you, Every Nation, New York City, you're a reconciled church. Don't let the devil wreck you by causing division, by causing disunity. Because the days that we stop celebrating each other is the days that we begin to separate from each other. Is this clean and perfect? Oh, no. But it's worth working through the mess so that God receives glory for the message we become through the mess. Don't leave. Been offended, don't leave. God himself is calling us to be a reconciled church because it's his eternal purpose. It's in his heart. And when you look at how the missionary journeys of Paul and Barnabas was launched from a reconciled church, we see the rest of the book of Acts being an expression of miracles, power, amazing acts and activities of the Holy Spirit, which is everything we need in 2020. We need miracles, power, grace from God. And he's going to do it from a reconciled church. Now, the contrast between the Jerusalem church and the reconciled church in Acts 13 is the fact that the only reason the believers left Jerusalem was because of persecution. They left because of persecution. They ended up in Antioch and a lot of the other places. It was always God's heart. But God had to send persecution for them to be awakened to their purpose, his eternal purpose. But in Acts 13, they heard about God's eternal purpose, and it became their purpose, and they were sent. So the question is, do we want persecution, or do we want to embrace God's eternal purpose? See, what the world is going through right now can be looked at as a part of God's judgment or some major attack by the devil. For me, whether it's the devil or God, I believe he's allowing us to actually look at every part of our life and look at all the other things that we've served and worshiped. He silenced them so we can hear him. And in hearing him, we can hear his eternal purpose being whispered to our hearts again. And the more we agree with his eternal purpose, the more we will see the release of his power. On Wall Street, in the corridors of news media rooms, in the places of politics, public service, in the theaters, the art, the music industry, the school systems. Do you realize that if you're listening to this and you're a part of Every Nation New York City, you are a part of God's eternal purpose for that city? God has called us to be the display of his glory to a city that's unreconciled and broken. Please don't wait for somebody else to do this. You're called to do this. And what I can tell you is, it becomes very clear as I close that God himself is able to use what we offer him in a way that transforms our city. Because at the end of the day, you know, one of the things that's said in Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, one of them is start with the end in mind. Start with the end in mind. So the reason God has an eternal purpose is because he started with the end in mind. Well, what's the end? Revelation 7, starting in verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever." The Lord is inviting us to be a part of the end in mind by being a part of what he has in mind right now. This is the picture of the pinnacle of the reconciled church, every nation, tribe, tongue, surrounding the throne. Salvation belongs to our God, not your God and my God, our God. And let me encourage you with this. God picked you. You didn't pick him. And if you're participating in community with people that don't look like you, it just means you're willing and available to be used by him to express his eternal purpose in New York City and beyond. See, the reason it kind of has to be this way is because God made a promise to his son that because of his wonderful sacrifice, there's going to be a reward for Jesus' suffering. It's going to be a bride that's not all one color. It's going to be a bride that was a mystery in the ages past, but is now being revealed in our times and in the times to come. See, God picked us. We didn't pick him, to be a part of his eternal purpose. The foundation of this church, Every Nation New York City, was established by a man, if you didn't notice, I'm a man who's black. And you probably picked this up. Pastor Rice, he's a man who's white. And you probably know this. Pastor Ron, he's a Hebrew. He's Jewish. So from the start, and this was not our great imagination and idea, God picked a man who's black, a man who's white, and a man who's Jewish to show how deeply his eternal purpose would start Every Nation New York City so that you can be a part of what it becomes. It is my hope that not only you receive this, you become this in that great city. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance over you and give you peace. And may the Lord keep us all until we meet again. Love you so much. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.